News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
And good morning. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton and sunshine right now. We're at 61 degrees in Mobile. Another nice day on the way for sure. And from the Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com, it is Quinn Hillier on the radio with us again today on the telephone. Quinn, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. How are y'all?
Good. Hey, we're doing all right. And, you know, of course, there's so much news going on right now, but not far from us here over in New Orleans. Absolutely awful wreck yesterday on I-55. At least 7 dead, dozens injured, and I think 158 vehicles that were damaged in a crash they're blaming super fog for on I-55. Absolutely tragic. Hopefully there aren't any more deaths that they have that they find in all that wreckage today. But it's terrible when stuff like that happens. And we were pointing out, well, you and Dr. Bill were earlier, when that happened, a similar accident, not as deadly, but here in Mobile, 1995, I think.
1995 on the Bayway, right, Quinn? And we had one death in that, maybe 160 had to go to the hospital, but there was a bunch of cars involved in that one as well.
Yeah, the fog is no joke.
No, and if you think about that, people just on their way probably to New Orleans to go to work or whatever, that was, I guess it was that time of the day, and suddenly their lives are changed, and in some cases ended. I guess you're familiar with that road. It goes over it's
Pontchartrain, right?
Yeah, it goes over Lake Pontchartrain, Quinn.
The western edge of Lake Pontchartrain, right at past Manchac. And it's, you know, it's a very low-lying area with a lot of marsh around, and that tends to create fog. This is a reminder to people, don't tailgate at high speeds. When I'm on highways all the time where I see tailgaters at high speeds, and I think that they should go directly to purgatory and stay in a very unpleasant purgatory for years, because it's really, really dangerous.
Yeah, it's really true, especially when you're on those two-lane roads like a Bayway or 55 in this case. So,
no doubt.
Those who are recovering, we certainly wish them well. Are we recovering? Do we have to recover from this speaker's situation up in D.C.? That's kind of maddening.
Yeah, another secret ballot vote was supposed to get started around 8 this morning, and now 9 candidates jostling for that speakership. Quinn, where do we stand right now?
Well, one of them dropped out, so we're down to 8. And then they're going to have this multi-ballot process that, you know, could take all day or well into another day. Where we stand is the House has embarrassed itself, Republicans and Democrats alike, because Democrats could have stopped this as well. But particularly 8 Republicans, there is no excuse for this. There is no excuse for any of those 8 to have voted midterm to remove Speaker McCarthy. And I say this as somebody who absolutely cannot stand Kevin McCarthy. But even if I don't, if I can't stand him, I would have absolutely voted not to remove him, because unless there's some major ethical problem that necessitates it, you don't do something like this midterm. You bring the people's house to a halt. You bring American constitutional democracy, or representative democracy, or a republic, depending on what you want to call it. You bring it to a halt. You are not doing the people's business. There's all sorts of things that must get done, and especially with the Middle East aflame, and by the way, domestic disaster relief at risk. You cannot stop the operation of the elected branch of government like this. It's abhorrent, it's stupid, and it's inexcusable.
Quinn, you've been closer to this process than Dan or I have. I'm just wondering, what do you think, or what have you heard things were like first last week with Steve Scalise winning the secret ballot? I think everyone, at least what Congressman Carl was saying at the time with that one, everyone agreed to back the one who won that one. That was Scalise.
And then they didn't do it.
That ended up not happening, so Scalise drops out. Jim Jordan then jumps back in, and he couldn't get the votes. How do you think that was working behind the scenes last week?
I'll tell you exactly what was working there, and this is not opinion, this is fact. Donald Trump was pressuring people to break 200 years of tradition, in effect, and not confirm Steve Scalise for the speakership once he had already won the nomination. And Donald Trump then got some other people. Kevin McCarthy was mad at losing. His acolytes, including one of Scalise's own Louisiana colleagues, started making calls that undercut Scalise. And so even though Scalise was the nominee, you had 20 people say they would never vote for him, which is, again, when you look at how the House operates, and there's a Washington Examiner editorial out about this morning, it's obscene because there is something that is known as sort of collective cabinet responsibility. When you're in a legislative branch, you have to allow the legislative branch to operate, and that means you can debate on policy all you want. You can go your own way on policy. But when it comes to basic governance of the House of Representatives, you darn well stick with your party. And what that means is you can debate on policy, you can debate on people, you can debate on procedure within your party conference all you want. But once you've chosen your nominee for speaker, you are duty-bound to support that person for speaker unless there's some ethical problem. You're duty-bound to support him because you have to get the House operational. And those 20 people that would not back Steve Scalise broke all tradition. And Donald Trump was the one that was pushing them to do it because he was angry. He didn't have anything against Scalise. He was angry because he really loved Jordan, and he endorsed Jordan, and he was embarrassed that his guy didn't win.
Trump was
absolutely making calls, urging his most vociferous backers not to go along with Steve Scalise. That's just a fact. He was doing it. He was known to be doing it, and that's what caused the 20 people to say they wouldn't back Steve Scalise. Now, once they didn't back Steve Scalise, then the tradition was thrown out the window, and so when they pushed forth Jordan, who had actually lost the vote, you had another 25, and there were actually more, that said, well, if the tradition's broken, we're not going with the guy we think is divisive. And so that just unleashed absolute havoc, and we're still dealing with it today, and we have no idea how this is now going to come out.
Quick traffic update, and we'll get back to the speaker race because I see many of you texting us. Kane had this in his last traffic report, but Bayway backed up for miles right now. It's eastbound I-10 at the 33-mile marker. Right, left lane and the right shoulder are both blocked. And this texture says Bayway westbound backed up to the battleship. So maybe things slow going on both sides of the Bayway. Keep that in mind on your trip this morning. Talking with Quinn Hillier from the Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com. So all of that happens last week. Now you've got, we had 9 candidates. I still can't find who dropped out this morning, but one of those, Gary Palmer from right here in Alabama, mm-hmm. and he yesterday put out his 5-point list. What was he calling this? 5 policy commitments, and he was urging fellow contenders to follow those. You had Congressman Jerry Carl endorse Palmer yesterday. What do you make of these 9 candidates? And I know one of them, Tom Emmer, you feel should have been the next choice for House Speaker after Scalise.
If you want to start making sense, you go back to what's basically regular order. And if the next guy in line in leadership, who already has a leadership operation in place and doesn't need on-the-job training, if that person doesn't have any major enemies, if that person is competent, and if that person is a solid conservative, then you go with him. That's why you have a hierarchy, and you don't elect somebody who needs on-the-job training. You don't elect a House sophomore who still doesn't know how the House operates. So that's why Tom Emmer should be the choice now. But that said, Gary Palmer's 5 points were very good. He said you have to bring up appropriations bills one by one on time. He says you shouldn't have the threat of a shutdown because you should have sort of an automatic self-executing continuing resolution. That's sort of an idea that Katie Britt also has been pushing, or at least it's a variation thereof. And Gary Palmer is in leadership. He's the fifth-ranking guy in the House, head of the House Policy Committee. So after Emmer, he would be next in line anyway. And, you know, people in Alabama know him. He's a solid conservative and a good policy guy. I can definitely see why it would make sense for somebody to endorse Gary Palmer if they don't want Tom Emmer. You start going below that, you have people that have never run anything in the House of Representatives in a way that would make them be able to step in midterm to be Speaker. It's a very hard job. It's a very complicated job. And if you don't have the staff for it and you don't have the experience for it, it doesn't do the House any good to have you run it.
I don't know. And Quinn and Dalton, I don't know if people's minds are actually going to change on this thing, talking about to the members of the Republican House, or if they're just going to get either embarrassed / exhausted by the whole thing and say, oh, the heck with it. You know, I'll vote so-and-so in just to
be done with it.
Be done with it.
Yeah.
Right, so what do you think, Quinn? What is going to break this logjam?
I think what you just described is the mindset that actually that's a helpful mindset. If you have somebody that can command a large majority of the House conference, then the rest of the people in the House conference should fall in line. That is what you do when you elect a speaker, because the House cannot, by rule, operate without a speaker. And you know what? You put aside petty grievances, you put aside personal pique, you put aside small policy and, you know, differences and stuff like that. You have so much ability as an individual member on any individual bill to go your own way, but you don't go your own way once your conference has chosen a speaker. And if it takes saying, okay, I'm just tired of all this, like you just described, and you finally fall in line, well, you know what? That's a good thing.
And, you know, no one's going to agree. No Republican up there is going to agree 100% with any of these candidates. But I do know Emmer, he caught a few arrows, I guess, last year in some of these leadership, some of these votes for leadership in the Republican side of things. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I know he's disavowed this since, but at one point Emmer was spokesman for the National Popular Vote Initiative, I guess in favor of doing away with the Electoral College. Now, I guess that was a while back, and he's since gained the backing of many Republicans there in Congress. They say he's disavowed his past position on the Electoral College. But I find that hard to believe that anyone would be close to the Republican House speakership who has been in favor of abolishing the Electoral College in the past.
Well, if you didn't want that, you know, and you're a conservative member of the House, maybe you should have not thrown out Kevin McCarthy, even though he's a jerk. Maybe you should have gone along with Steve Scalise once he won fair and square after McCarthy was thrown out. Look, you're not going to get everything you want. You owe it to the country to get the House operational again. The Middle East is aflame. Local disaster relief is in the waiting. You've got another government shutdown looming. You've got veteran services that will be curtailed if you don't get the government operational again in a few weeks. You have all sorts of things riding on it. Stop being a showboat and actually pull together and do your job.
Okay, Quinn, we're going to go to the Middle East, I think, after this break.
Well, yeah, to the Middle East within the United States and a lot of these college campuses where you're seeing the youth, the disaffected youth, supporting Hamas, in some ways. They say Palestine, you know, but it's hard to separate the two right now. We'll talk with Quinn Hillier more when we get back right here on Mobile Mornings. And thank you all for the traffic updates on the text line. And Bayway really slow going this morning, so What is it they say? Pack your patience, mm-hmm. I guess. This segment brought to you by the fine folks at Tobias and Comer Law, a local personal injury law firm. And they've helped you get fair compensation for hundreds of people in our area. They've been working for decades and are down on Dolphin Street. They'll help you guide you through your case from the time you first talk with them until it's all over. They don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer you've never met who may not even be from the area. So from car to boating accidents, defective products, to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. And I talk about it often, but their website is great and full of useful information, tobiascomerlaw.com. You'll also find the phone number there for a free consultation any time of the day, 24/7. That number is 251-432-5001. Again, check them out online, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Got about 3 minutes left here, Quinn. Real quick, you see young people across the country who are supporting Hamas, or certainly Palestine, including quote-unquote progressive Jews. Mind blown. Help me out.
Well, there's no way to explain it except that these people, these young people who believe that, are soulless moral monsters. There is no way any decent human should be able to say that Hamas's actions were largely justified, and yet a large plurality of people, I think it was ages 22 to 35 or something like that, say that it was. These are Americans ages 22 to 35 or 24 to 32 or something like that, that didn't just say, well, they have some sympathy for the Palestinians. They said that that the attack was justified by the conditions that they live in. They are talking about the beheading of children. They are talking about rapes. They are talking about some of the most unspeakable acts. I saw one of them with my own eyes. I saw a video of something that is so morally, so reprehensibly indescribable, it blew my mind. You cannot support that, even if you have sympathy for Palestinian civilians.
I mean, the one that
these American kids did, and there's something wrong with them.
The one that really blows my mind are the people walking out there with the paragliders, like using that as some kind of rallying cry when they played such a central role in that horrific day back at the beginning of this month. What do you make of the future of America if so many people in that age range you just discussed there, 23 to 35, are so blatantly anti-Israeli? I guess you could almost call some of them anti-Semitic, or you could. What does that mean for the future of America?
Well, they're not just anti-Israeli. They're anti-civilizational. If you can justify the things, the atrocities that were committed by Hamas, you're against civilization and you're against basic humanity. Mm. And it makes me absolutely tremble for the future of this country and this world unless that large plurality of young American adults gets their head straight.
So, Quinn, people want to find out more about you. What's the best thing they could do?
Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner, or go to quinnhillier.com and subscribe for absolutely free. And there should be a new one going out today, a new newsletter, again, absolutely free.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Quinn. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
As always.
Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, and quinnhillier.com. And coming up, we'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. Our poll question, should Mobile County Public Schools reinstate corporal punishment? We'll get some of your texts from that this morning. And I think we'll get a visit from Jolene Roxbury and the Roxbury Players also on the way, right here on Mobile Mornings.
A lot of text when it comes to the traffic in that Bayway eastbound. And Quinn Hillier on the text line. Corporal punishment in schools. That's one of our three big things this morning. We'll talk about that coming up here, too. And also what you've got to say on the text line. Terry, is that Terry? Says, we can always thank Quinn for regurgitating the Swamp Republicans' talking points. Leo says, Quinn Hillier is a lefty lunatic. Everything is Trump's fault. And I'm loving that Congress is shut down because they can't spend tax dollars that way. All right. Well, shut down. There's still a problem with
that. Also, John texted in, Quinn is 100%
yes,
right. Quinn is 100% right. Trump is a petulant child. That's what John texted in this morning. We'll get to more of those here in a second.
We talked to Quinn a little bit about this during the break. It's like Trump doesn't really have a whole lot of, you know, Fox is at this point not really pro-Trump, right?
No, definitely not. No.
And so you got CNN and the other ones out there.
He's got Newsmax.
He's got Newsmax, I guess. So what I was saying was, how the heck did I not hear that? That was just inside politics, I suppose. Quinn Sandy, I know people here, and here's what. I can't believe that if they had any inkling that Trump was delaying the speaker race.
If he was the mastermind.
That would have been the headline.
Yeah. And, you know, he did endorse Jim Jordan when his name came up. Yeah. You might have missed this yesterday. He made another endorsement in the House speaker race, and it's a guy I think we all know pretty well. Here was Trump as he registered to run in the New Hampshire primary yesterday, talking about this House speaker race.
Now that four threshold is very tough. It's a very tough thing, no matter who it is. I said there's only one person that can do it all the way. You know who that is? Jesus Christ. If Jesus came down and said, I want to be speaker, he would do it. Other than that, I haven't seen anybody that can guarantee it. But at some point, I think we're going to gonna have somebody pretty soon.
So I think he just endorsed Jesus for the House Speaker.
I think he did. It's like a George Carlin line. I don't know where that came from.
I believe there would still be people who would vote no. It's like, are you kidding? I'm going to put Jesus up here and you're going to vote no. Today, also a day, if you want to go get some special donuts, Purple Pinky Donuts. Why Purple Pinky? Well, today is World Polio Day, and the Rotary Club of Mobile is wanting folks to know it's also called Purple Pinky Day. Why is that? Well, during National Immunization Days, millions of kids have their pinkies marked with purple ink, signifying they've been given 2 drops of vaccine. So now, if I took my kids in, there's a good chance they would have purple ink already all over their hands, just because they're always crafting. But they put the purple ink on there at the doctor's office to make sure they don't get vaccinated more than once. And so Purple Pinky Donuts, you can get those today at the Dunkin' Donuts on Spring Hill Avenue, today being World Polio Day. And the Rotary Club of Mobile, you know, I thought polio was long since gone, but apparently not. Back in 1985, now that wasn't that long ago, but 1985, polio paralyzed 350,000 children annually. That is difficult to believe. This year, there have only been 9 children, period. 9 children worldwide that have been diagnosed with polio, and those came from just 2 countries, Afghanistan and Pakistan. But the Rotary Club is trying to do their best to make sure this never makes a return. They've, along with other Rotarians in the Southeast, raised almost $5 million for the eradication of polio with the Purple Pinky Project, and their goal is to add another $1.5 million this year. So if you want to do something a little different, a little fun, go get some Purple Pinky Donuts at Dunkin' Donuts today. Jolene Roxbury, I've been talking on and off with her quite a bit because the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour is returning to FM Talk 106.5. They've got a special holiday special, begins November 18th, and will run at 4 to 5 p.m. November 18th, every Saturday going through the holidays, and then a replay on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. And the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour and Roxbury Players sent us this to help us prepare.
Get ready. The Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour is coming home for the holidays.
We can't wait for November to get here. That's why FM Talk 106.5 will be playing lots of fun little snippets from the show the entire month of Roxtober.
Did you just say Roxtober?
Sure did.
Nerd.
And now, a Halloweeny moment with Belle Cadeau.
My grandmother told me that a long time ago on Halloween night, it was common practice for parents to rub oatmeal and salt on their children's heads to ward off evil spirits. Unfortunately, this did attract all of the neighborhood dogs and any livestock that happened to be downwind of the poor dears. I often wondered why so many of the old family photos contained so many pictures of so many bald children.
The Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour. Keep it right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Learn something new every day. Looking forward to the return.
I was not aware of that custom.
Rubbing oatmeal on kids. Looking forward to the return of the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour. November 18th starts at 4 p.m.
Text line here, Dalton. couple of folks chiming in on the discipline in school. This is Todd in Grand Bay, says absolutely in favor of bringing back paddling in school. Yes, sir. Chris in Orange Beach says, I'm 60 years old. Back in my day, when you did something wrong in school, they would say, do you want 3 days off or three licks with a paddle?
Yeah, Ed must have gone to the same school. He said, morning team D. Hell yeah. Three licks or 3 days. That's what Ed said. And, you know, my school, they were still doing some corporal punishment. I never called it that. We just called it go get paddled. And happened to me a couple times. And I was nowhere near a record holder at my school like some of the members of my class were. But
yeah, so there's some kids you can't break.
No, and they tried.
They're unbreakable.
They tried. And then it was like a separate, it was almost like a completely separate institution. You had the school paddlings, which Mr. C would give it to you. Mm-hmm. Pretty rough there. We were always open for like a weak-armed principal whenever there'd be this changing of the guard.
And there's a few of them out there.
There are. But then you had the football program, or really I should say the athletics program. Mm-hmm. And that was like its own thing. Like different rules. Paddling happened much more quickly within the athletic program for the guys than it did in the schooling portion of the school. So
yeah, I'll tell you what. Our football coach at my Catholic high school. Now, if I don't really remember, there were like echoes of stories about the football coach Ray Mantoni. He was a granite faced former football player.
He sounds like a middle linebacker.
Yeah, he was. And so and the idea of Ray Mantoni doing the paddling.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. So you would much rather have some Jesuit brother, you know, that teaches sociology or something like that.
There were always these guys also at school who you'd watch them get paddled, and they wouldn't, like, they acted like it didn't hurt. And you're like, holy cow, what is going on in his personal life?
They're the ones you can't break. Somebody once told me that he never liked getting into fights with kids who really liked to fight. Like, you know, the kids that enjoy fighting. It's like, I don't know that I really want any part of them. Also, when it came to home paddling, here's what happens when you're from a big family like I am. So I'm the fifth of seven, and Joe Brennan, he was a pretty tough dude. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by the time it got to me, he kind of lost his fastball.
Did he have proxies? Like paddling proxies?
No.
Okay.
Complete games. He was the guy. Maybe it was attitude.
Yeah.
You know, he would just softened up a little bit, or he felt more sorry for me. I don't know what it was, but like the first two down the pike, they got it. I mean, and they got it.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line.
He was in his prime.
He was in his prime. And they were in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
But they didn't get it very often because they knew not to go there.
And then that's also what you don't do, which I made the mistake of doing one day. My dad gave me a paddling. I think we were using a kitchen spoon, you know, one of those wooden spoons or something. And I had the gall to say, man, it just doesn't hurt like it used to. You just don't have that fastball anymore.
Be quiet and get out of the game.
Big mistake.
Don't do that.
But then, you know, I do have my reservations about schools now, and the way you brought it to me earlier, you're like, all right, think of this as if it's your children, which I do have two girls.
Yeah.
Maybe I would feel differently if I had boys. And at my school, they just didn't treat the girls the way they did the boys. Mm-hmm. And I think that used to just be the way of the world. It made perfect sense to me at the time that they'd be much more more likely to paddle a boy than a girl.
Yeah.
But I do have my reservations about, you see some of these stories about teachers and leaders in schools these days, and I don't think they always have their heads on straight. And I do know that there are a lot of kids who could use a good spanking.
Yeah.
They could be put back in line. But Cody, he makes a lot of sense to me here. He texted in, he said, the school may be a child's safe place during the day. You never know what's going on in a kid's life, and I don't think being physical with them in their safe place is the best idea.
Yeah, possibly. I guess what he's pointing to is there's trouble at home.
Yeah.
That they're already, but you would, I don't know, you know, like what troubles a kid to make him one of those unbreakable kids? It could be a lot of disturbing stuff.
Yeah, it could be. Gene texted in, prisons around the country are filled with people who were physically abused. It doesn't work. I was abused at home and at school. I still did what I wanted and accepted the consequences. do you beat your dog to train it? You only make it meaner. That was a text from Gene. Now, a majority of the texts this morning say yes, bring back paddling in schools. Feels like it would straighten the kids out. The way they're bringing this up, though, and I think it's going out in a survey to parents with Mobile County Public School students, is if they were to bring it back, that it would be filmed and at least one witness present, right?
Well, also, you'd have, it would be, I mean, anything and everything there's a video of it now. So that would be required in this conversation. I think this is, and also you would have to opt your child in.
Mm.
You would have to say, yes, my child, Johnny, put him on the list.
Yeah.
If he gets in trouble, you have the right to do that. Yeah, I guess what I brought up to you was that you've got two little girls, 4 and 2, and would you want the teachers, or you know, at what point do you think it's okay to let the teacher know, hey, if she gets out of line, you've got every right to hit her with a paddle.
Yeah, and my answer, and it's much easier, or was much easier back in the day, and also where I'm from, a small town, everybody knows everybody. In order for me to be okay with a school administrator paddling my either of my daughters, first off, they'd have to be much older than they are right now, obviously.
Right. Sure.
Second, it would be, what are they being punished for? Did it reach the level where I'm like, okay, yeah, you probably made the right move? And secondly, I would have to really know that
person.
Principal slash teacher slash administrator, I would have to really know them well and believe that their intent matched up with what my intent would be.
Exactly.
That it's all about showing that there are consequences for bad actions. And I think a lot of kids, first off, they don't get consequences at home. Some do get consequences at home, but nowhere else. You got to know that if you act up outside of high school, or even 16 and older, if you do something bad, there's generally going to be pretty tough consequences. And, I mean, take this kid who was arrested at Burns Middle School Friday for pushing a teacher down. 12 years old, okay? 12.
So he was in a fight, and the teacher tried to intervene, correct?
In a fight, teacher intervened, and the kid was totally in the wrong, obviously, totally in the wrong. But they ended up arresting the kid and taking him to Strickland Youth Center. Now, if this were a kid who'd never been in any previous trouble, what would you as a parent prefer? That they get whooped by their principal,
mm-hmm.
catch 3 to 5 hard licks, and then get it again when they go home? Or would you rather have them have an arrest on their record already? Because that's the only other option. If kid acts bad enough and there's no punishment within the school, they're going to just haul them off to Strickland Youth Center. I think many parents would probably prefer their kid get paddled instead of that being the first escalation.
And I think that's a good point. And also a good point is what you had to say about the punishment meeting the violation. Like, you can't be there in the moment, right? So if you sign off, like, if you want to hit Izzy, okay, but I've got to, you know, I have to be all in with, show me where the line of demarcation is here, what action would be that level of violation. And but you'd have to know that. You'd have to trust the paddler for sure. There's a lot that would go into it. A deep level of trust that I think would be hard to come by.
Yeah. And
that's just me.
And there need to be, if it happens, there needs to be strict guidelines for what constitutes that punishment. Unlike when I was in school, one kid did something bad. One of the guys in my class, all the guys ended up getting paddled because no one snitched. So the principal's like, I've had it. Instead of saying, okay, I give up, he said, I'm just going to paddle every single one of you.
Wow.
So I wouldn't be okay with that. It was fine for me. And maybe if I had a boy, it'd be a different story. But for girls, I just don't know.
And I think the story about Mantoni that I was talking about, their football coach, was he would do the old lift you up against the locker.
Oh, boy.
And just scare the living everything out of you.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, we got a million texts on this. We'll get to as many as we can when we get back right here on Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. One of our three big things this morning from Lanyap. At the end of yesterday's MCPSS Board of Commissioners monthly meeting on Monday, District 1 Commissioner Douglas Harwell brought up the possibility of reinstituting corporal punishment in schools. He said he's running for a position on the Mobile County Commission, and he said while campaigning, it's come up a lot with his possibly to be constituents. Then you have Johnny Hatcher chiming in from District 5. He says, I ran on it. I believe it. I'm a product of it, talking about corporal punishment in Mobile County Public Schools. Meanwhile, a couple of dissenting voices included District 3 Commissioner Reginald Crenshaw said, if the vote comes up, I'm a no. Board Vice President Don Stringfellow also voiced his concerns with allowing physical discipline throughout the school system. He's a former educator and administrator, and he says it doesn't work.
Can you imagine if workplaces paddled? How funny that would be. I did find it odd when I started working here a decade ago. Sean said, yeah, if you miss more than 5 days, straight paddling.
Paddling, right.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. Terry said,
and it hurts.
Terry said, paddling in school won't work if you don't paddle at home. And said, discipline is not abuse. A proper spanking does not leave bruises or injury. Is that like the pillowcase full of the oranges, or is it soaps, or what is it they say? It hurts badly.
But again, that's the trust that you'd have to have in the whole system and the people, and that's your kid. So that's where I think that, you know, that's tough.
Yeah. Mark says, Dalton, a physical assault on a teacher has always been an offense punishable by an arrest by the local police department. It will never be changed to just a paddling offense. Okay. Yeah, I imagine you're right. I do know I had some teachers and coaches that would have rather not pressed charges. They would have rather taken care of it after school, either through running me or using the paddle.
Yep.
But then again, I never pushed a teacher down or even struck one.
Right.
Art said, there needs to be a witness, so it is not a case of he said, no, she said.
A witness would be there, and it would be videoed, and you'd have to put your child on that list to be paddled.
And someone has an issue with the video. I'll get to that here in a second. King of All Unnamed Texters said, how about weekend appointments for the parents to be able to witness the paddling? I'm sure they'd love it. Damn Yankee makes an interesting point here. What this discussion proves is how desperate the Mobile County public school system is. Too many kids in school are out of control. Yeah, I mean, to get to the point where, what was it, 2 decades ago, they voted to no longer allow the corporal punishment?
I guess it was, yeah.
Yeah, they must be out of control if that's the case. Martin says, at 71, been there, done that, but I really don't think paddling in schools for quote-unquote young kids will fly with parents nowadays. Humiliation does work best, whether it's child or adult. Proven fact. B.A. says, if I got paddled at school, then I got paddled at home and turned out just fine. G-Man says, the two kinds of people who do not support spankings are either weak pansies or stone-cold psychopaths. I accept it, but with reservations. Like I said, I would need to know whoever's levying the punishment. I'd have to know them as well as any friend that I know, or at least know what their intentions would be, and I'd have to know what they're being punished for.
Yeah, right? But in the moment, you can't be. You have to trust that they're going to do the right thing in that moment. And if you sign on that your kid is on that list to be paddled.
Dirt Digger said, I used to have to wear the dunce hat in the corner. Do they do that at schools? Put a dunce hat on you if you started. Now, it would be funny, you know, some of these Comedy Central roasts, if you had a teacher who was just really good at roasting.
Yeah.
And they just, in front of the whole cafeteria, was like, you know,
Let me tell you about Brennan here.
Yeah.
And then just go like a 3-minute rant on how ugly and stupid you are.
Yeah.
Imagine, wow.
That might change you a little bit.
That would affect me more than a paddling.
So this texter said, if someone whips my child, I'm whipping them. Definitely not videoing it so someone can get their rocks off to it later. Sorry. And then paddling just doesn't work. Also, I was paddled by an assistant principal at Clark Middle School, who's now a registered sex offender, is what this texter says. And, you know, that...
There you go.
That did come up when we were discussing this off the air. It's like, you know, there are some real messed up people out there.
Yeah. And is one of those messed up people's got a paddle in their hand, and your kid at their desk. It could happen.
It could.
I mean, it did happen in that case, according to the texter.
This texter said, a safe place doesn't have a damn thing to do with behaving and acting right as you should. But I also see where Cody was coming from, that some people, that some kids, their home lives are so bad.
Yeah.
But you know, if school is their quote-unquote safe place, they shouldn't be making it an unsafe place for other people
either. Maybe there are probably reasons for their behavior coming from the bad behavior of big people in their life at home.
What a tough discussion, but... Y'all did great helping us through it this hour. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show. He'll have Bradley J. from Breitbart, former state senator Dick Brubaker, also the GOP chairman for Alabama, John Wall, on the way.
Dan and Dalton tomorrow back with you at 6 a.m.